And so I would like to have our purpose be to find a product idea that's so exciting for you that you would be happy to pay for it. Now, we don't know if a product exists, and we don't even know if we'll find one, but the goal is that.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome to this special edition of superfastbusiness.com. In this edition, I'm actually going to share with you a guest contribution from a previous guest and good friend of mine, Dane Maxwell. And this really is around the idea of coming up with a business idea. As you know, I specialize on the intermediate and advanced internet marketing techniques. And sometimes I do get a question, what about ideas? How should I come up with an idea? So here's how to get three highly profitable business ideas after watching the video, of course. You know, it really does stop a lot of people from starting a business. And it's got nothing to do with money or connections or time. Most people just don't know how to get started because they don't have a good idea. Or if they do, they don't have ideas that people actually want to pay for. That's a really big issue. If you've ever found yourself racking your brain for business ideas, or you've had countless business ideas that no one wants to pay for, then please watch this video at superfastbusiness.com or listen to the audio version of it, which will follow shortly, because it was supplied to me by my friend Dane Maxwell, who runs a business called The Foundation. And in this video, he uses a process called idea extraction to find three business ideas in an hour by asking a car sales professional about his business. One idea the guy would pay $200 a month for. Another idea, he'd make an easy six-figure lifestyle business. And the other would be a platform that might be more challenging to create. So you'll notice in the video that while Dane is doing the process, he also breaks down what he's doing. When you learn this, you'll discover how to find profitable business ideas in any niche. In fact, you could use this to get your first idea if you've never started a business. But if you've got a business running, you can use this process to find additional products from your own customer base. And if you want to take it a step further, then I do suggest you check out The Foundation. I've got a special link at superfastbusiness.com. You can get access to their information where they cover idea extraction, the four elements of a freedom business, and how to overcome fears and doubts and self-imposed limitations so many of us entrepreneurs face as we grow our business. So I'm about to play the audio from the video. If you want to see the video itself, it's at superfastbusiness.com. I hope you enjoy it.
So we typically wouldn't stare off during an IE, but just... It's a little untypical. It's not like a typical IE because I'm tracking like four things at once. Landing page you guys are all doing, how I'm feeling. Like I'm wanting to show up a little differently than I would during a totally normal IE so I can kind of be meta while I'm with you. So I'm just like tracking all the different pieces within me right now. So, all right, so I think we'll just start right in. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll just say, ring, ring, you'd pick up the phone and say,
hello.
Hey, Eric, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man, how are you?
Great.
Cool, that's good to hear. And so we've checked off intro. So before we go into the call, what we're going to be doing today is I want to set some context with you so we have a container for the call and a direction that we'll be headed towards. Does that sound okay to you?
Sounds good, yeah.
Cool. So firstly, I just want to set the purpose for the call. So the purpose for the call is, as I understand it, you're a used car dealer. And so I would like to have our purpose be to find a product idea that's so exciting for you that you would be happy to pay for it. Now, we don't know if a product exists, and we don't even know if we'll find one, but the goal is that. How's that to hear?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Does it truly sound good? Like, I'm really curious. Cool. So, yeah, challenge away. Cool. And next, so that's cool. I'm happy to hear that. So for roles on the call, what I'd like to do is just set roles real quick is I'm going to be the interviewer asking you questions, and all you need to do is just sit back and relax and answer.
All right.
Does that fit for you?
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Lastly, I think we'll set a 30-minute or so time container, just so you're aware of time. And I'll be tracking that for you so you don't have to worry about it. Right, Brad?
Yes.
Okay. And finally, I'd like to tell you why I'm doing this. Would you like to hear that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And just before I even go into why, how is it for me to say that I want to tell you why and then ask if you'd like to hear it? What happens for you when I do that?
It shows that you care about me and my problems, and you can care about this phone call and want to be productive. So.
Wow. So your impact is actually that I care. It seems like I care and that I want the call to be productive when I say I want to tell you why. Yeah. Do you guys getting that? I was very surprised by that answer.
That you value my time.
And that I value your time too. Wow. So I ask him about why. I haven't even told him yet. And I ask him, can I share my why with you? It's very, very profound. Like, it feels great over here to say, hey, can I share my why with you? And then for his response to be like, that I care, that I want it to be productive, and that I value his time. We're already starting to build rapport. From here over here, it feels like we're starting to build rapport. Does it feel like that over there for you?
Yeah.
Okay. So my why, my goodness. I really enjoy the used car dealership space. I enjoy how it works differently than new car dealerships. And I find myself wanting to become a very, very successful entrepreneur that has total financial freedom. And I feel like I have a good shot at that if I help used car dealerships solve some really painful problems and help the owners become free as well. So my why is essentially just to finally become, let's say I'm not an entrepreneur, but to finally become an entrepreneur and have my own successful product.
Okay.
How is that for you to hear?
I hope you make it happen.
You hope I make it happen.
Yeah.
So now, do you actually feel a little invested in my success now?
Yeah.
Is that fit for you? Fascinating. That's great. Cool. And you're not faking your this is your true authenticity, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Even the way I asked that, I kind of led you. This is your true authenticity, yes.
Right.
What I do want to open space for before we begin, just for the education of everyone here, it's giving you a second to really feel into. Is that why? Do you feel that why beyond your brain? Not yet. Write them down. Thank you, though. Like, how does that why land for you? Is it flat? Do you feel it?
Initially, I didn't necessarily believe your take on the used car business because it has a terrible reputation. So that was my initial.
So I broke rapport with you.
You didn't break rapport, but
okay.
I maybe a little resistance.
How you experienced?
Like, I have seen the problem from my customers. Like, it's everyone knows that used car dealers have a traditionally bad experience. So.
Wow. Yeah. And as I'm sitting with you here now, I'm actually seeing that was actually my best guess. I've only heard that used car dealerships are more profitable than new. And they can be. And also notice that you mentioned the word reputation. And I never really went there, but you heard that. And it all happened because I reached for a guess. I guessed about used car dealership. So let me actually just retry a why. It's hard to actually manufacture one, but I try not to. Dude, I just want to become a successful entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And I'm really hoping that I can build a product and finally have a crack at it so I can get out of my job. And I'm hoping that we might be able to find a product to build by talking to you.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to you? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I want the same thing. So.
Nice. You want the same thing?
Yeah. I don't want to be stuck doing all the day-to-day stuff in my business either, so I don't know.
Okay, so I would just mention stuck day-to-day as a little note, right? Something I might revisit. Stuck day-to-day is what I wrote down there. So that e-call has already started, right? Well, it's officially startup. The context has happened. So he's already given me an in, and I haven't even asked a question yet. Get a headline again. Yep. Yep, there you go. Get your copywriting hats on. So, and was that helpful for you guys to see me slow down and reiterate why and try again?
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Just for a few of you. So, all right, next. So cool, now that context is set, I'd really like to begin asking questions. How's that sound?
Okay.
I'm just wondering if you think back to like the last couple days or even the last week, what sort of challenges have you run up against?
I bought a lot of cars in last week, which is a good thing, but now I am behind. There's a lot of steps that the car has to go through to make it ready for sale. When I first started out, it was in my head, and I created a checklist, but I find myself not consistently using it.
Yeah, typical entrepreneur.
Right.
So I'm just pause for a second. So what are you guys getting right now? What's happening for you guys? Question time if you need. Yeah, Mike.
I see like two things that pique my interest. One would be like a software program that could coordinate all the things.
So let me pause you.
Okay.
So when I ask what you're getting right now, you're noticing that your mind is starting to go towards solutions. Is that happening for lots of folks? Yes. Some yes. Okay. Yes. Who is this happening for? They're going to solutions. And no, who's not? Okay. So half and half. I kind of want to like say both of you guys are screwed, but no, I'm just kidding.
The other piece is, okay, what other questions could I be diving into to figure out this problem immediately?
Great. So you're noticing like, what other questions could I ask to dive into that better? Great. And so you're noticing you're going to solutions. Yeah. And
that's why my question was going to be how you're evolving this and taking your time, but you're trying to keep this to a 30-minute conversation. At what point does it become where this becomes conversation like you would have with somebody else and not just trying to speed through it so you don't miss anything?
So you're one.
Because this could be a conversation, like a natural conversation you're having with somebody to get to the problem so that you get a solution out of it. But at the same time, you want to make sure that you hear everything and that you're on track and on pace without losing some key piece of information. So how does that stay within this window of time so it doesn't seem like you're taking away his time from doing his business, but at the same time, you're able to come up with valuable creating the landing page, all of that stuff that has to come after.
Right. So how do you do this in 30 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Great. I don't know how to answer that right now. I think it takes practice. Holly?
With each answer that he gives you, I feel like there's so many more branches that you could take the conversation. So how do you decide what to ask more in depth about or where to go back?
That's exactly what I was saying. Exactly what I was saying. How do you take it and keep it like within 30 minutes or expand it into something where you just keep going on every different branch?
Exactly.
For me, I'm following what's interesting to me.
So as a follow-up, I guess, I understand that we typically want to solve problems like not going to solution, but typically we are able to offer software solutions.
Yeah.
So
how am I able to keep my mind out of going to solutions?
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about hiring the detailer. So does your mind start thinking about how you can speed up that process or how you can get that information? Or, you know, are you saying, no, I don't want to ask about that because that's about a mechanical thing and we're not reviewing something?
Yeah, no, so he says hire a detailer. I didn't care. And I'm... because I didn't feel very much from him when he said, I'm hiring a detailer. Where I feel him the most is typically where I like to go because that's generally what's most interesting to me. CK. What's that?
It's like you want to follow his pain thread, so it's
Yeah.
Like, detailer is fine, but it's like, you know, they even part of
the part to be like, this is cool. Yeah. Like, I'm truly, like, in such great service. Like, I feel like I'm in just total service to Eric. Like, I'm so unattached to finding, like, we may not find anything he pays for, or that pays for, but, like, I'm just so into, like, dude, I want to help you so much. And that has me wanting to go to, like, I don't want you to feel any pain at all. Yeah, that feels so good. CK, real quick.
That's the question. So you're listening for an emotional response, like, mm-hmm. The pain that you're
I'm not sure if it's conscious. Like, I actually get a no when I ask. Am I listening for emotional response? Okay, I get like a maybe. What I'm listening for, yeah, I guess the way that you say that has me feeling like you're trying to mentalize it, maybe. Does that fit?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm actually listening for discomfort. Not emotional response, but like, discomfort may be an emotional, but like, but I'm like, okay, where do I feel Eric most bound? Like, where, yes. Is that good enough for now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Dane, what's coming up for me in that conversation that you're having is how are you compassionately agitating it? Because you haven't really gone to the next level of agitating the pain. It's up. And you're going to stir it.
Yep.
But still out of embodying love and care.
Let's wait and see.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah. So we'll hold questions for now, unless they're burning. Are they burning?
I never heard what his worry was.
What his worry was.
You said, like, steps that, you know, you've got to coordinate things, but I never heard his worry. And without the worry, you can't agitate anything. So I'm still listening for the worry.
Got it. Wonderful. Yep. We'll get there. We haven't got there yet. So, I'm still in fine micro pain. I have not gone to agitate yet. I circle around in micro pain until we find something, then I go, poof, oh yeah, there it is. And then I kick over to agitate. So I'm still in fine micro pain. Ready to go back in?
Ready.
Okay. So the other thing I noticed is as I reflected back to him and I was like, oh yeah, this brought out lots of steps and, you have lots of steps and you pick up and you have this detailer. And then you have all these other things. As I was reflecting back, I was finding myself coming up with solutions, which I immediately just kind of, okay, that's a solution, and I keep back with him. But I also noticed by me reflecting back, not only am I getting his world more, but I'm actually finding more problems myself. Because you remember when I reflected back, and I was like, oh, you have the detailer. Oh, is that process when you sit in a car, is that a checklist, or is that intuitive? That came from me reflecting back, right? So just notice how often I'm reflecting back. And so jumping back in, so you have this Mercedes. And notice how I'm also asking questions, driving him down to very, very specific things. I'm not asking about the five cars. I'm asking about one car. If we were in the email inbox, I'd be asking about one specific email, and I'd be asking about the words in that email. I drive towards a specificity. Because it's easier for, I imagine it's easier for you to answer when I'm asking about just the Mercedes. Does that fit for you that you can conceptually wrap around that?
Yeah, it helps if it's one specific.
Yeah. Cool. So you have the Mercedes, and you get there and you sit in the car, and sometimes you follow the checklist, and sometimes you don't. The fact is you got four other cars you got to do this with. You're not actually out there adding more revenue to your business because you're stuck with the maintenance of right. Getting these cars ready for sale. So, okay. So as we're here in this, before we continue, I'm just kind of wanting to get a gauge on, is this actually a problem that you experience enough pain around that you would actually want it to be solved, or you okay with it?
Oh, I definitely want it solved.
Definitely want it solved.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Now I'm going to agitate pain. Okay, check in with him. Because if he said no, I would have just gone somewhere else. I'd be like, okay, so tell me about another challenge. Tell me about some important activities. What's up?
Oh, is that a question? You're asking me
no, no. See, he won't answer it. That's great. The questions are like, that's fun for me to see. So now we're in agitate pain. So you've got this process of, as a used car dealer, you're buying cars and preparing them for sale. Wow. It seems like quite an arduous process over here. Does that fit for you?
Yeah, it's time consuming.
time consuming is what fits for you. So when you think about this process from going from bought car to getting it for sale, time consuming. Right. So now I could go more into that, but I'm going to follow the process as we teach it. So how does the process work now? You briefly mentioned it to me a little bit.
So I've got a checklist. Like I said, sometimes I follow it, sometimes I don't. It works fine because I know the steps well enough I can do them in my head. But as the business has grown, I start to drop the ball in some areas. Like I forget to order a part, and then I have to wait 2 days. And now someone wants to see the car, and I forgot to order a $10 bottle of touch-up paint. So now when I show the car, it's got these little things that detract from the value because people are pointing it out, whereas something stupid and simple like that, if I'd just been on top of it, it would have been ordered in time, been done, and not having to decide I'm going to have to make a special trip to the parts store to get this $10 item and postpone the sale and tell them to come see it tomorrow and maybe he'll buy another car or show it to him as is and potentially have them think to themselves, so I'm going to have to paint the bumper because there's some touch, some scuffs on the bumper. It's relatively minor, but some people think like that. Like, there's $200 for the bumper, and when some touch-up paint would have solved it, and they wouldn't even really noticed it, it wouldn't have been an issue. So.
So I noticed I felt a little lost in that. It felt maybe overwhelmed. And what I heard was you have this process that's in your head, but it's also written down, and sometimes you follow and sometimes you don't, and that you need better systematize if you want to scale more. Then I heard that you have things where, like, you might miss a part or a product that might finish the car or not finish the car. And you might have to make a trip down to the parts store. That might actually delay a sale. So it sounds like, well, first off, let me just pause there. Does that feel like I'm getting a little bit of what's going on for you?
Yeah.
It seems like it seems like quite a problem to try to solve. Like, if it was already solved, I imagine if it was simple to solve, I imagine you would have solved it. But over here, I actually feel my brain hurting a little, like as I'm like really trying to imagine how this problem could be solved.
Yeah.
How is that to hear?
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, so it hurts your brain too?
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Frustrating.
It's confusing. I know that there's software out there for dealers, but usually I've noticed in the industry, it's like a really big software that's more than I need, and for whatever reason, this industry, the vendors charge a lot of money for these solutions. When I've started looking into a few, and it hasn't been exactly what I'm looking for. It's a lot of money, and it's going to take a lot of time to implement.
I want to be able to do it all from my cell phone, like it's that easy, that simple. So,
do you guys see what's happening?
Yeah,
I didn't have to take him there. A lot of times, IE can be done for yourself. Just happens naturally. So, so I was asking how it is. What, one sec. So, and it just, you mentioned that basically how I got what it is just pretty messy and pretty inconsistent and stuff falls through the cracks. How does it feel for you? Now I'm in agitate pain at how it works now. Now we're going to go to, and as I ask, how does it feel? Notice he's touching the back of his neck. His eyes, touching the back of the neck is a huge sign of something happening usually. How does it feel truly to have that be your process?
It's frustrating.
Frustrating.
Because I feel like I've found the pain in my customers, but then I can't properly help them because my process is inefficient and broken. And so I find myself just stuck in this kind of cycle.
you find the pain, but you feel like you can't help them because your process is inefficient and broken.
Yeah, I can help them on a small scale, but I know I've kind of seen the possibility and there's a huge upside, and I'm not, it's frustrating because I know I'm not taking advantage of it.
Taking advantage of what?
Of the opportunity out there.
The opportunity out there, which, what do you mean, what opportunity?
Like I said earlier, the used car, just used car industry in general has a bad reputation. I specialize in cars under 10,000, which is even harder in that price range because most of the cars are in not very good condition, not worth buying. People tell me all the time, like, their horror stories of shady dealers trying to rip them off and having to run all over the city to look at cars, and they're not what they thought they were. And, you know, it's people's typical second biggest expense. And if they get it wrong, it can become a real pain in their ass. Which,
yeah. What I'm getting is how much you seem to care for your customer.
Yeah, I totally do.
Yeah. And also you said that you've found this pain, which is what I'm getting, is that customers getting pretty much, I don't know, screwed over by used car dealers by buying a car that's misrepresented. Is that the pain that you said?
That's part of it.
Part of it. Okay.
It's just, it's a lot of time and money. People consistently tell me that they've spent a lot of time looking and it's challenging. And,
They spend a time.
And I relate to that because I don't buy my cars at auctions, so I'm out there online every day going and looking at cars, and so I kind of can relate to where they're coming from.
Well, that's a whole nother track. Okay. So when you said you have this pain that you want to help solve, but you feel like you can't because your process is inefficient and broken, do you actually feel somewhat immobilized or paralyzed? Or is that a little too extreme?
That's extreme. It's just, I think it goes back to I'm not really utilizing my time properly.
Utilizing time properly.
I've seen the possibility and it's having a hard time getting there.
Yeah, seeing the possibility and having a hard time getting there. I feel exhausted imagining that. How is that to hear?
It's good that you can relate because it is exhausting.
It is exhausting for you as well.
Yeah.
So what do you think will happen if you don't fix this problem?
Probably burn myself out slowly. Yeah, I can make it successful because I bust my butt, but I know that if I don't make changes, I'm going to slowly just wear myself out, and the greatest fear is that I would have to give up the business and go back and get a job. So
you kind of have a smile on your face when you say that. Is that smile covering up discomfort?
No, I felt like because I've, in this past like year, had a couple sleepless nights realizing that if I didn't change, that was what's going to happen. And so this past like year and a half has been kind of a journey of trying to put these changes into place. So I've spent a lot of time thinking about it.
Yeah, a lot of time thinking about it. Okay. So it sounds like now we're going into Wave Magic One. So it sounds like your problem is you've got these cars that you buy and you need to prepare them for sale. And there's a process that you want to go through to get them prepared for sale. But not only is that process just getting prepared for sale, there's actually an integrity to the process. So the car buyer knows they're buying a well-represented car.
Right.
So it's not just any kind of process to prepare. Not like most other, what it sounds like, used car dealerships, but a lot of integrity in this process. Does that fit?
Yeah.
In that the process is messy right now and things get falling through the cracks, and then things happen like, oh, $200 off on that bumper. So you end up potentially losing sales. One, you might lose a sale altogether. And then if you don't lose a sale, you might actually get a lower price. So it sounds like this process is also impacting both the sale price of your car and potential sales in general.
Right.
Which seems really alarming to me. Does that fit for you?
Yeah.
Does it sound like I've sort of, like, basically understood the concept of this problem?
Yeah, overall. Yeah, I mean, there's other aspects of it, but that's kind of the general idea.
Yeah, I imagine.
It's just the process.
I imagine. I feel a desire to learn about all the aspects of it. Like, and just pausing, like, right now I'm just noticing myself, I'm so engrossed in you, and like I could even come to tears at how much I feel I care about really just wanting this to be gone for you. And like wanting to know, like, I just want to be with you all day and find all your pains and just make them all go away. Like, that's what I'm feeling right now. Nowhere in here am I interested in my own product and my own, and I'll end up getting that maybe, but I'm still with you. I'm not really thinking about myself right now. I don't think, maybe a little, but I'm not too aware. Like, it's not loud. What's louder is you. So, if you could wave a magic wand and do anything, like literally anything, I know you mentioned cell phone earlier, wave a magic wand and do anything to solve this process, what would you do?
Ideally, it would be that I could take a step back from the business and not have to do all these day-to-day things and have employees in place that can do this for me. But the main challenge is being able to monitor things like easily and simply, so I can keep an eye on things and could do it as easily from my cell phone. So what I find myself doing is using a lot of different programs to try to track all this, and it's time consuming because they're all over the place, and it's hard to find something that encompasses all of the aspects of the business.
So you're looking, ideally, the first thing you mentioned was take a step back out of the day-to-day and have employees involved in the business running those things for you. And then, but you're able to ultimately keep an eye on things and track things from your cell phone,
right,
as opposed to the multiple different systems that you may be using right now to get it done.
Right.
If we had a solution that made all this possible for you, now we're going in to ask a sale. Would that be worth paying for?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, absolutely, how strong?
Very strong.
Very strong. Yeah. And how much would you pay for it?
It's challenging because I think I'm a pretty thrifty and cheap person. And so I'm constantly battling myself to not be cheap and, or to save a little bit of money, but costing myself a lot of money down the road. So
right.
I think if I could see initially how it's working and how much money it's bringing me, then I could pay a lot of money for it. You know, initially maybe $250 to try it out. And if it's really like, really works as good as, you know, as I think I could potentially pay a lot more.
Mm. So you mentioned being thrifty. I felt a relation to that. Like, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to give more than I want. Like, I really relate to that. And then also that you might pay a lot more if you really saw what it could do.
Right.
But $250 to maybe try it out. $250 one time to try it out?
Yeah. I mean, for a month. I mean, what I envision is pretty broad. So, you know, the software I've seen is sometimes more than that, and I don't think offers everything I need, or it's too complicated and too big. So,
yeah, interesting. Everything you need, but then it's too complicated or too big.
I mean, trying to do it from your cell phone, it needs to be simple. You know,
yeah. The cell phone sounds important.
Yeah.
So yeah, $250 a month, maybe try it out, and then as you're edging into it, maybe more and more as you really start to see the value of it. I'm curious, what are those five cars, if you sell them, all five, for the price that you want? What would be the profit on those five, just roughly?
$6,000 to $7,000.
Total?
Yeah.
And how long do you think it would take you to sell those cars if you were efficient with everything?
I could probably average days in inventory per car is like 14, maybe, from the time I buy it to the time I sell it, if the process was really working, I could turn it in 14 days. Like per car, I don't know that I'd sell all five in 14 days, but you know, just as like a general average, you know.
Is it 14 days from the day you buy it or 14 days from the day it's ready and on the lot?
Well, I've always tracked it from the day I buy it. The industry, I think, tracks it from the day they advertise it.
So you're looking at the day you buy that Mercedes, 2 weeks later, it's gone.
Right.
And would it be possible to shave that down if you were following a process?
It's possible. It's already 14 days for this industry. It's already really quick.
Yeah, it seems that way.
60 is the average. So I guess in that respect, it's one of my advantages is I can turn quicker than average dealer. But
so I'm going to pause and tentatively end this. So let me actually really kind of officially end it with you. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to take everything that we've said and really kind of put it into a coherent thing and bring it to my team and have them look at it and brainstorm possible ways so you could actually have everything on your cell phone and then get back to you. And I'm hoping within a week's time. How does that sound for you?
Sounds good. I feel like there's probably more things I need to tell you, though. Like,
okay.
There's other aspects of it that maybe need to hear, but
yeah, I feel that too, actually. And so I'm thinking I'll take everything that I have and then I'll come back and show you that, and then you can help me fill in the gaps, and then I can show you something else.
Okay.
How does that sound?
Yeah, let's start.
Yeah, I know that it seems to me that feels a little bit better to you than just me trying to do everything with what you've only said here.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's a big problem and it's not going to be solved in a half hour, so.
Yeah, awesome. So, I might just end with like, this was awesome. I'd state my feeling. I feel really excited. And I'm like, man, this is so cool. I got this whole new world, this whole new thing in front of me that didn't exist a half an hour ago, that now is right in front of me. Because of a simple conversation framework, right? I'm just feeling really excited and energized. And I just want to thank you for having the conversation with me.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Do you happen to know of any other used car dealers that, like, you're friends with that I might be able to get a second or third opinion of this on?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah. Cool. So now I've just set up a couple more IE calls, potentially. So we'll pause. We'll stop that there. Now, Holly, as you asked the question, like, how am I doing this? And I'm like listening for what's most interesting, / listening for where he's most agitated, / I'm also just like listening for anything that feels like an opportunity. And one of the fastest ways to make money is to find an expert and publish them. And here in front of me, I have a guy who can sell cars in 14 days to the industry average of 60. I would be very interested in systematizing everything he's doing and selling that information and that system on an area exclusive basis, so he's not creating competition, to other car dealerships around the country, and publish it, interview him, do all the work, systematize it, prospect it to all the other used car dealerships. It seems like a slam dunk sale. Subject line to every used car dealership: sell your inventory in 14 days or less. And now I have a very good chance at a pretty decent replacement income, maybe even six figures. So I imagine if you're going from 60 days to 14 days, that's accelerating your cash flow times about 4, which is a significant amount of money for a business, which means I can charge a pretty nice premium for information like this, especially if it's only sold to one used car dealership per city.
Right.
That question, the 14-day inventory, only came because I asked a question and followed a curiosity of mine, which was, if you take all those five cars and average their profit, how much are you going to make? Now, I don't teach that. I don't know how to teach that. But if you watch it, pay close attention. Because that 14-day inventory thing only came when I asked that question that's not currently taught. It's just like I'm in the moment and I'm thinking, okay, you're paying $250 a month for this. And I'm thinking like, oh, maybe you could sell those cars faster or how much profit does he get per car, trying to factor to help him see the value. Because he said, if I could see how much this is worth to me, then I would be willing to pay more. So I was just going there. You know, I'm like, how much would the pro? Okay, I'm going to help you see that. And that's when the 14 days mentioned. And then I didn't think to ask, well, what's the average? He actually still told that to me as well. And as soon as I heard the average, I thought, boom, massive moneymaker. And I'm just telling you right now, bro, you could actually probably walk away from your car dealership and make more money selling this system of 14 days of 60 than selling used cars.
You've thought about that.
You've thought about that. Good. So that's IE. I'm so excited to have you guys be able to do this afternoon. You guys ready to do this afternoon?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is when your life changes. This is like when everything changes. It's so emotional for me because it's like, it's right there for all of you. It's like right in front of you. Like it's. I'm so pumped. So for the landing page, what I found myself doing is anytime he said something that stuck with me, I wrote it down. And then my next step would be to go and put it into a landing page. And I'd organize it. Do you guys want me just to read quickly through everything I wrote down? So he said sleepless nights stuck. Oh, he has had sleepless nights about halfway in. And if I ever hear a business owner saying I'm having a sleepless night, game over. So stuck day to day, he mentioned at the beginning. He said he bought a lot of cars that have lots of steps, and that takes him away from adding more value to his business. He's looking to hire an employee. He has to pick up the car first and bring it back to the office and schedule the detailer plus other things. There might be body work. It's one step at a time, and the steps have to go in a certain order, or if it's not, problems happen. I have small number of cars. I can't remember what that was about. His process is lacking. He has a checklist that sometimes he follows, sometimes he doesn't. You better believe that's going to be on a landing page. Then he mentioned a couple situations, and I was like, oh, cool, there might be a situation. Like, does this sound familiar to you? Right? He's mentioning, like, you don't have the buffer, so you don't buff the bumper, and then someone wants $200 cheaper on the car. That's copy on the landing page. And I was like, oh, wow. So I had this, like, so on the landing page, if you want to make a note on your template, like, does this sound familiar to you? And then just mentions common situations. Then it mentions that it impacting his sales, that he's possibly losing sales, maybe $200 for a bumper. He felt frustrated, confused. Then I have more than you need. I don't know what that means. A lot of money and time. You want to do it all from your cell phone. You found this pain with existing customers, but you can't help them because it's inefficient and broken. That was to me a severe trigger for some pain that I could really bring more to the surface of, like, all these customers that are getting screwed by other used car dealerships because you don't have your act together. Like, I could have gone there, but in a loving way. So, because that seemed important to you. And the only reason I'd go there is because you really want to help these people together, right? So then he mentioned about something that was a whole new track, a whole new tangent for a product, which was reputations of used car dealers. And having a process that you can now potentially create a certification program for used car dealerships to buy into for a process that they have to follow to assure that their cars are not misrepresented and full of integrity, that you now have a badge that now all customers that are ever looking for a used car on a site can see that badge and potentially, like, that's a whole nother frickin' avenue, right? So then, you know, you have customers, it's very time consuming for them because they want to know this stuff. You mentioned that if you don't do this, you'll burn yourself out slowly. Better believe that would be on a landing page, the slow burnout. The magic wand I wrote down was take a step back so he doesn't have to be involved in the day-to-day, hire employees. And I even wanted to challenge him on that because that wasn't magic wand. That was his mind thinking about how he could actually step back. And it may not even be employees he needs to hire to step back, right? So that was something that if I had more time, I would explore. But the most important thing is he wants transparency. He wants to keep his eyes on things. He wants to track everything from his cell phone. And he'd pay $250 a month to try it out. So he was hinting at a pretty big product. It sounded like it had the potential to be a big product. So my whole interest would be focusing this whole thing down to what's the minimum that you would need to get started. And that's where I would go next, okay? So you have this whole big product, but you would pay $250 a month for. What would you pay $250 a month for now if it could only do a few things? And then I'm building that product simply, and then I'm going to add on features over time and then increase the price for you as you're getting more and more values, just to shrink it down. So we want to build the product in 12 weeks or less, which is what we'll get into tonight when I show you guys the offer for that $1,000 program on how to build your first product. I'll mention all this stuff tonight. So that's everything I had written down. Hell yes. Successful IE complete. Thank you, Eric. Thank you to Eric. Eric, thank you.
Well, there you go. That was Dane Maxwell from the Foundation with the Idea Extraction Method. If you enjoyed this, then please go and check out the Foundation. Leave a comment here. I'm sure Dane's going to pop by and answer them. And I look forward to catching up with you on a future episode.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.